Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us
sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Ignatius,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
Good afternoon. So, all of you know basically the situation with respect to the coronavirus, and what the Archbishop and the bishops are saying is that I would have liked to carry through this course until the end. We're at midpoint right now, but because of what's going on, this will have to be the last class. Yeah. You know, I kind of battled with this, but I had to talk it out with my superior, and he said, so I just have to obey. I wanted to bring it to the end, but it's just I have to obey. So I apologize for that, but I have to obey my superiors, no? Because we don't know where we're at. As soon as we're aware, then we're going to have another session, probably right after Easter. So what happens is, right after Easter, we start the spring session. So, you know, in a certain sense, those who made the general confession, I don't say this, but, you know, that's really the most important part of the whole program, you know? And those who have not made it, I will be given that we've canceled everything. Except we have masses and confessions, whereas in Boston and San Diego and diocese where you don't have any, there's no masses. Now everything is closed. Rome as well as Singapore and other places where, you know, the church is closed and people are just locked up. So in a certain sense, the fact that we have masses today and during the course of the week we have the normal masses, and we have confessions available, we are more blessed than most places. So thank God for that, no? We're going to give you the handout today, and Father Larry also said we're not going to have sharing groups because that's just, we have to obey. But I talked with Mary, this is one of the best sessions we've ever had. 400 people basically persevering. A lot of people are back for the second or third time, which is great. So I'm really one that's suffering most because I've got so many programs, and all of a sudden, it was like a rug pulled underneath my feet. But it's called holy indifference. So I'm trying to accept God's will, but it's hard. Holy indifference, I told you, is not easy. I understand it theologically, as many of you do, but where the rubber hits the road, where you really have to put into practice, you got to beg for an abundance of graces. So for me, this is one of the best. This was the biggest group we've ever had, I think. You know, we had about 140 people. There's less today because it was. One session, this is probably about the best we've ever had, no? And not only that, but perseverance. A lot of times we start out with, 120 and we end up with 80, whereas most of the people in this group persevered, which is huge, no? So what can I say? I have to obey. I was going to try to ask Father Larry arm wrestle to be able to do it, but no, I have a vow of obedience, so no, that was my homily in the two masses. We just have to learn to obey, even though, you know, if we obey, God is going to bless you even more. But we'll try to give you the tools so that you can persevere up until, I just hope by the middle of April it's resolved, but I'm like you, we don't know. We don't know where we're heading. It could stop and then it could spread all the more. I think we're in God's hands. We have to depend on God more than anyone else, no? We have to do our part. We can't open up the door for the possibility that this disease is going to spread because of our negligence. So we're just trying to out of charity toward you. And also when the Archbishop speaks, as priests in the diocese, we obey. We don't question what the Archbishop is saying. I mean, he's the one. He's the shepherd of the flock, and we're his minor shepherds trying to help out at least a little bit. No. Yes. Question. Yes. Speak a little bit louder. Yeah. Sure. Great question. And Mary and Eric, they've already kind of thought this through, and so she'll respond to that after I finish my talk. Good. Other questions. So I'm actually shocked that we had so many people. I was expecting only the same spend as quattro gatti, you know, four cats to arrive, no? Because most people heard that we had online, we're closing down the programs. For example, I showed up on Friday for my catechism class, and there's no one there, and there's usually 150 people. No one was there. I said, wow. But so, I guess you won the cake, no? Yeah. Yes, Nancy. Great. That's a great question. We will. Mary will answer that. We've already thought that through. And there's probably a good positive response to that. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I've been working in live stream now pretty actively the past year and a half, and it's a really great way to preach. Those who are with me put up with the fact that we're kind of amateur and we're kind of learning the ropes, and we get blurred, becomes blurred, and then sometimes you can't hear me, and I'm a professional amateur. I get a great team that helps me out, but you know I've never been able to understand a perfectionist. I've never understood. We live in such an imperfect world, no, and we make it that way. So don't expect perfection in this world. Yes? Does someone have? Yes?
Will Mary be addressing how the power of prayer outside of your handouts at the end of the day? When the program is over.
Sure. If she is not, I will.
You should address that problem.
Sure. Good question. good question. Are you a first comer?
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot of options. I think I have the response. Given that we're heading toward the midpoint of Lent, I would just strongly suggest that you take, do you have the Magnificat? I would suggest you take the Magnificat and you read the first reading, the responsorial psalm, the gospel, the opening prayer in the Mass, as well as the prayers in the Mass. And if you want, you might even take one of the prefaces to the Mass. In other words, to really live to the fullest extent possible the liturgical year. Because we're in the very heart. You know, Lent and Easter is the pinnacle or the zenith of the church here. If you want, there's so many commentaries, but what's captivated me over the past year is Relevant Radio. You've heard of that probably, right?
Sure.
Relevant Radio. They've had me on that a couple of times with Morning Air and a couple of segments. If you have the app, which is a free app, at the very top you have a sliding screen and it says Conversation with God. Have you seen that? Maybe your wife has seen that? Okay. The commentary is excellent. And it's actually taken, you've got 7 different volumes. So Chuck Neff is actually reading the commentary, and it's, I mean, there's a lot of good commentaries, but he's quoting the founder of Opus Dei. He's a canonized saint. And after that, he probably quotes John Paul II more than anyone else. So, you know, you really can't go beyond. If you wanted a commentary, because you might feel, well, Father, I'm just getting into the flow of things. I want the point. That I find, and if you listen to it on there, it's about 15 minutes. You've got about 3 pages of small print. Then that would be my suggestion. I mean, there's many other ways that you can do it. You could do a lecture divina. You know, the Liturgy of the Hours, which Joanne teaches, is an excellent teacher of the Liturgy of the Hours. You could easily, you know, do your holy hour just on that, right? The lecture divina, first and second reading, yeah. We were going to try to connect you with spiritual directors, but it's kind of up in the air because of where we're heading. Because this program depends a lot upon spiritual direction. And we have trained, certified lay spiritual directors in this parish. We already have about 20, and we have about another 20 that are in formation. So in a year and a half, we should have in between 40 and 50 lay spiritual directors, which is probably the most in the country, you know? The reason being is this. Obviously, the best spiritual director is a priest. No brainer. No, because we've got holy orders, we've got many years of studies, and there's a priest in this house who, I have to say it, but of all the priests in the United States, we're the oldest priests, okay? So we've got most experience, pastoral experience, and that helps our spiritual direction. Teresa Avila says a good director should have 3 points. But intelligence, holiness, and prudence. Prudence for Teresa Avila means practical experience. Those are 3 qualities of a good spirit, according to Teresa Avila. Yes, a director has to be educated. He has to be prayerful. But also, as I get older, I recognize that God speaks to me more and more through experiences. I step back and I examine, I see how God is speaking to me. That's a daily examine, feeling, right? And I pray that you persevere. Without the program, without spiritual direction, it's hard, but the key of praying well is you got to persevere. You just got to be there. To be honest with you, the past week I've done my holy hour, and I don't think I've ever been more weary, you know, but I was there. At the end of the holy hour, I said, Lord, I mean, here's your sleepy servant, no? Sleepy, faithful servant. So the key is faithfulness. If any of you know Spanish, Teresa Avila says, debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. You have to have a determined determination to never give up prayer. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, we've had a perseverance class, which is a follow-up that I had the last one last week. Yeah. Now, basically everything is canceled except the masses and and confession. Can I be honest with you people? You know, there's a lot of things that are diminishing, but not our confessional lines. Are you kidding? Which is good. No, me and Father Craig are the ones that spend most time confessing. And one occasion, one lady said, I was number 34 on your line, Father. Number 34, and there were people behind me, no? So that's a good sign that you have people come from all over LA to go to confession here, because you know why? Is other priests, they've got so many pastoral responsibilities and administration that they can give an hour a week. I would say as a whole, usually I give at least 3 hours a day. Saturday, usually 7 hours. That's the one day in which I try to just nail myself there after I've done 10 baptisms and 3 weddings, no? But try to be available, especially that day. Yes? The daily gospel? Yeah, that would be part of the Magnificat. You do the first reading, the responsorial psalm, then the gospel, and then if you want a commentary, you know, there's really a lot of good, I mean, being an English major, I'm going to go on and on and on, but I could give you so many sources. Another one I would suggest that our community has been using over the past couple of year is the Didache. Have any of you heard the Didache? Okay, the Didache originally it's one of the first Christian works around the year 100, maybe 110, which is basically come on the teaching of the apostles, you know, which would be one of the greatest works in the second century. However, there's a literary work that's been published within the past couple of years called the Didache. And any catechist here, what it is, it's the whole Bible and the commentaries taken from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So it really couldn't, with respect to Orthodoxy, have any of you read the Catechism of the Catholic Church? Yeah. I mean, even though maybe you've read it, you can't go wrong in reading it. It's so rich, right? I find it more difficult than the Council of Trent is much more kind of like the Baltimore Catechism, because it's quoting Denziger, the Council of Trent, and Leo XIII, and then Pascendi, and then JP1, and then Paul VI. So it has the biblical passage, and then below, you've got the commentary from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in which they tried to glean certain themes that the gospel has and connect that with the catechism. And that's my style of preaching often is I'll read through it and I'll try to see what is the theme. First reading, the gospel reading, and then I'll develop the theme. That's my homiletical style usually, no? I have another option, well, forgive me if I'm failing due to pride, but well, this could be a possibility. I'm a writer, and I've written 3 books. So the second book I wrote is Consecration to Mary through the Mysteries of the Rosary and the 7 Sorrows of Mary. Now, if you'd want, that's published by Sophia Press. And my last book was published by Tan Publishers. You've probably heard of them, right? They're probably about the 2 best classical Orthodox publishers in the country, no? So if you want, you could take that. You can do your meditation on the Mysteries of the Rosary. Because I have the Mysteries, and then I've got my commentary, then I have the 7 Sorrows. So that could be another possibility, because I haven't what I usually do, I give the exercise and I find some space during the year to do a consecration to Mary. I've been doing it the past 5 years. 75% of the time is outside the parish. I'm a missionary, I go to the different parishes in LA and in Orange. But that's pretty easy to follow, you know, the biblical passage. My commentary, basically, my commentary is the way I speak. I'm not ambiguous. You know, I tend to be maybe overly blunt, no? So that could be another possibility. We've got the books in the office, so you could order it Amazon or Sophia Press, no? Yes?
Would it add value to you because you're holy out?
Oh. Well, how I do it? Okay. I've never had that question before. Now, what I'm doing is I do it totally different than the protocol. Okay, I'll tell you. Yeah. You know what congregation I belong to? You know? You know what it is? What would it be? Okay, you just read it now. Okay, yeah. Because there's a lot of oblates. That's what I was talking about, yeah. Yeah, but he just, what Ed just put on by mistake, well, it was providential, is the conversation with God you could use for Holy Hour. I arrive at we have a little chapel, so I'm there by usually 5:40, so I do it about an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes, I'm heading toward the hour and a half, but I've been just too exhausted the past 10 days that I can't get up any earlier than I am. So I expose the Blessed Sacrament, and I light the candles, and there was someone this morning that did an all-night vigil, and he was there doing the Holy Hour with me. It's our cat. I always prefer to teach catechism rather than dogmatic theology. Pretty corny joke, right? No. I don't follow the readings that commented that I wrote. I don't do that. But and I'm not saying that you have to do this, because I have a spiritual director and I talk with him. When I speak to my spiritual director, right away I talk to him about my prayer life. As soon as we pray together, right away, first 20 minutes I'm going, and I'm speaking, because everyone speaks to me. Now it's my turn to unload, okay? Say, Father Jack, this is what I'm doing, this, and he'll listen. Okay? And given that I'm an oblate of the Virgin Mary, OMV, my charism are the exercises, but my charism is Marian. So, starting the new year, I made a proposal to say 4 rosaries a day. And on Friday, I missed it. I was hearing general confessions. I was probably, I don't know, hearing confessions 9 or 10 hours, and I had the mass in the evening. I was just exhausted, and But I'm gonna maybe try to pick it up and say five a day the next week. But all the other days have been four. So I start my day, expose the Blessed Sacrament, and I pray the rosary. That takes the whole hour and 15 minutes. Now, what I do is I take the mystery, and what I'll do is, and this is preparing myself for the Mass. So I usually start off every day, praying, I start off my day praying three and a half hours. But different types of prayer. My holy hour, liturgy of the hours, Mass, rosary, and then I pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy. Now, what I do is I take a mystery rosary and I'm in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I just allow the Blessed Mother to inspire me to pray with her heart, to talk to the heart of Christ. And what I'll do is I will be in different modes. Okay, today I want you to pray in reparation. So I'll take the rosary and I'll start to say Hail Mary in reparation for abortion, contraception, homosexuality, the sins of the priests, the sins of the bishops, and I'll say the Hail Mary, and what I'm placing that in Mary's hand, in Mary's heart, in preparation for my Mass at 8 o'clock. So for me, everything is related to the Mass. It's in function of preparing myself, because the Mass is by far the strongest prayer in the whole universe. I think even the holiest lay people like yourselves, good people, I think you're touching just the tip of the iceberg. And I'm going, I think, a little bit beyond you. Maybe not much, but I think I'm going a little bit beyond you in understanding the Mass and living out the Mass. So everything is in function. Okay? And when I was doing it the other day, I get inspiration. One inspiration I had was this. And I think this is going to give you a lot of consolation. Is every Mass I celebrate will be for these intentions. If any of you studied philosophy, one of the things you learn in philosophy is what is called a virtual intention. Do any of you know what that is? Well, I'll tell you. Virtual intention means I place the intention in a specific moment, I give it to God, and even though I've made that intention, I may forget it in the moment. But God has taken it. For example, when I do weddings, and I do a lot of them, I've done as many as like 20 at a time, okay, you know, group weddings, no? I will tell the couple, okay, the gift that I am offering to you is the following. And then the couple come like this. I can't give you any money because I'm poorer than you are. I don't have a lot of poverty, no? But I'll offer you a novena of Masses. Now, when I say Masses, I'll specify as a secondary intention, because the primary intention is what someone has asked at the office 6 months ago. And your secondary intention is this, for you and your husband, that God will give you a lot of peace, a lot of joy, long life and eternal life. And what I see then is usually this. And the people there in the mass, they're shocked. And I'll go right at them. I'll say, look, right now we're thinking about the party afterward. And we give a lot of economic gifts. Why don't we give this couple to pray for them a novena starting today? And you people, you do it with me. They'll come a dump out, no? They say, no, I'm serious. Start now, all of you make a novena for Mary and John. Yes. How are you going to do it? Well, if you can, come to daily mass, come to daily mass. Can't make it a daily mass, at least pray a rosary, we can do that. Better yet, the rosary and divine mercy, chapel of divine mercy. But if you really want to do something great, do all of them. No? Mass, rosary, and chapel of divine mercy. Okay, going back to you. This was an intention, a virtual intention I made about a week ago. And why not? Every mass I say until I die, I could die tonight, I could die in 30 years, only God knows, is all the people that God places in my path, and that includes you people, I'm going to be praying every mass in reparation for your past sins. So you made your general confession right away. You got my mass, which the blood of Christ is offered to God the Father in reparation for your past sins. You and your loved ones. So I wanna embrace as many people as I can. So whoever comes to me in any course, but especially this course, you're on the altar. Okay. So that's the first. Second is praying that you will grow in grace. You'll grow in grace. Because the danger after we finish these exercises is that the fervor diminishes, right? It happens. But you'll grow in grace. Now the third intention is that you'll grow, that you will grow in grace and grow in conversion, because conversion is a lifelong process. You know, Lent should characterize every day in the sense we're always called to be converted. Then I pray as St. Alphonsus Liguori says, for the grace of all graces. And the grace of all graces is that all of you will die in the state of sanctifying grace, and you'll be saved for all eternity.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
You know, I believe God's going to hear my prayer. I'm saying it with faith. I'm a sinner like all of you people. I've got my confessor. I've made many general confessions. But I almost feel that we have an infinite reservoir of graces available to us. Unless we know this, what I'm teaching you now, we're never going to take advantage of it. So all of you will be touched by that intention until you die. So when I'm make me holy, that's one of the things that surfaces. Now it depends on where I am, and where I'm at emotionally, affectively, even physically, what mode. That would be the mode of reparation. Be the mode of reparation. Okay, let's change gears. So the Holy Hour is never the same. And sometimes what happens is this. I go in front of the Blessed Sacrament and I got my rosary and I just sit in front of the Lord and I say, Lord, it's just good to be here with you. And I just relish that. Like two friends. Like you come home from a hard day's work, you say to your wife, honey, it's just good to be here. Let's have a glass of wine together, just sit, shoot the breeze, and let's just kind of enjoy each other's presence. No? Good marriages are able to do that. Maybe you don't always have to, you can read each other's hearts almost. And Teresa of Avila says this, and I don't quote her too much because this is not a Carmelite, even though I love Teresa of Avila, is the deeper you go in your prayer life, there's what is called the dormition of the intellect. This is Teresa of Avila, okay? In the interior castle. There is the dormition of the intellect in which the intellect is working less and the heart is working more. You also have what is called the simplification of the affections. Okay, I'm giving you a mini course in mystical theology, you know? Okay? The simplification of the affections means this. And I'm going, it's almost as if I'm contradicting my program because I give all of you kind of a complicated method of prayer. It's kind of complicated, all these different steps. But those who are beginners, you have to start out with a method. You know, anything you learn, you start off with a method. For example, if I'm teaching, I'm a teacher, you know, if I'm teaching language skills, maybe teaching someone how to write and speak a good English or Spanish. Right away you start with three building blocks. You have to have vocabulary, you have to have grammar, you have to have pronunciation. Any teachers here? you have to have vocabulary, especially the verbs, okay? You have to have grammar. You have to know, is this present or is it future and perfect? Is it subjunctive? Is it a gerund? Is it a split infinitive? I mean, all these are language blocks we have to have. But then you have to have a pronunciation, because if you have the first two but you have your pronunciation is bad, then it's going to be incomplete in your knowledge of a language. But in this point, and some of you may have arrived at this level where sometimes I'm just there, Lord, it's good to be here, and I just look at the Blessed Sacrament, and I just look at the Lord, and I love it. You know, sometimes you say, Lord, it's good to be here. Lord, I just love you. Now, friends, the best prayer you can ever say in your meditation is this. Jesus, I love you. And if my heart is moved just to rest in the Lord and allow my heart, now my intellect is not working so much, but my heart is moving. And I can just say, Lord, Jesus, I love you. And where I'm at over the past year is that I just have a great love for Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph. It's almost inseparable. I'm starting off with Mary, then I'm praying, and then Mary says, no, stop and look at my son and talk to my son. And I'm not John of the Cross, or I'm not Teresa of Avila or St. Faustina, but this is a mystical life. what I'm talking about now is you're arriving at what's called the illuminative way. Okay, we're getting a lot of lights. Okay, and there's less discursive meditation. Discursive meditation is what I taught you people. You have a truth, an idea, and you're going one, two, three, conclusion, and then you have a colloquy. So you arrive at a deeper prayer life, it becomes much more simple. Okay, we got some mothers here. It's, it could be like, you're like a baby resting in the arms of a mother. Any moms here? You understand? It's like, you remember when you had your little baby in your arms, he was sleeping there, he was so happy. We're like a baby resting in the arms of a mom. Another image. So I've said it before that the essence of prayer, we start up here. We start up in the intellect, right? But we go from the intellect to the heart. I said these are not intellectual exercises, but these are spiritual exercises. Now, unless you have proper spiritual direction, what I'm saying is you may feel, oh no, I'm just sitting here looking at Jesus. Uh-oh, I got to go back to my method. Father Broom is going to get angry at me if I don't go through, you know, these different steps, no? Because if you don't have proper spiritual direction, you won't be aware you're moving from what's called the ascetical life to the mystical life, okay? But that's much more profound. In a certain sense, it's easier. You're sitting in the presence of the Lord. You're looking at Him. You're loving Him. He's loving you back. And you're just you're allowing your heart to move gently toward the object of your love, which is Christ. And I said, if you don't have proper spiritual direction, no, I have to be doing a lot of things. I've got to be doing a lot. I have to do. A typical American. I got to do. I got a project. Okay, one, two, three. Let's move on to the next project. No, so that's not the way. That's not always the way of the mystical life. And especially as Americans living in this country, the Gospel of John says that He loved us first. We always feel that we're the ones to take the initiative. It's really God that took the first initiative. Okay, listen to this. This is very difficult, but probably a lot of us have never allowed, just let God love you. We can't understand that. Well, no, I have to first love. Well, yeah, fine. But let Him love you. Throw down your inhibitions. Let Him love you. You're sitting in His presence. All of a sudden, you become St. John the Evangelist, and you're resting on the Sacred Heart of Christ. And you're listening to His heartbeat. What do you think the heartbeat of Christ was to St. John the Evangelist? For me, very simple. Love. 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 And love isn't something mushy or maudlin or saccharine. Love is sacrifice on the cross. Love is a willing to suffer for the lover. That's what it's not. It's not, you know, romantic, saccharine, sweet sentimentalism, as we think when we hear the word love. No? Glad you asked that question, but I'm not finished yet, okay? Because it depends on you got to discern, you have to be open to the Spirit. Probably the easiest prayer that can be made is the following. Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. So often I'll spend just a whole holy hour taking a Hail Mary. I'll say, Hail Mary, I thank you for this. I thank you for this person. I thank you. And there's a whole, I'm just thanking. One of the most frequent things I thank God for is, and I think all of you, if you're struggling with prayer, stop back and see all the graces that God has given to you, and thank God. All of you, you're here. God has received. He's given you so many graces. You know it, right? You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. You are God's spoiled children. You are. You are God's spoiled child. You are among the most loved people in the world, the fact that you're here right now. And humbly admit it. Well, thank God. Rewind the film and just see how many blessings God has given to you up to this point. I'll tell you one that I often thank this. Thank God for this. Are you listening?
Yes.
The fact that I did not come from a dysfunctional family. That's 1.5 million. Today, it basically, that doesn't exist. No? 9 of us, a big family, no? But a family where, you know, about 6 years ago, I traveled to New Hampshire to celebrate a diamond jubilee. You know what that is? It could be 75, but it can be 62. Okay, the liberal interpretation 60, because how many couples are married for 75 years? But they're married for 60 years. And I said the mass there, and afterward I had a meal with this couple, and then at the end of the meal, they were talking about a lot of things, and one of them said that we never had any serious problem in 60 years. With 9 kids, 39 grandchildren, and one of their children is a Catholic priest, and that's me. The fact that brought up and raised where, you know, there was not a dysfunctional family, in which, you know, it was a family where we prayed together, we went to mass. My dad worked on Wall Street, a very hard worker. We all went to school. We did the best we could. We're a very athletic family. We played sports. Started to work when I was 7 years old, shoveling snow in New York. And then I got my paper out. And then at 18, I went off to Villanova to basically, you know, study and prepare for my future. But I only have good memories, which is, you know, it's 1.5 million. I don't have these gaping wounds that everyone has today. I just think about mom and dad loving to be with each other, my dad bantering and joking around with us. I remember piggyback rides and, you know, just, and more and more I'm just thankful because people come to me as a priest with these huge gaping wounds. Now, maybe not all of you could say that, but the fact you are here in this program, you have to thank God for where you're at now. And I'm telling people more and more for saying, well, what about my past father? You know, God is merciful. Why did he come? He came to save us. From what? Our sin. And you know what's key is this. Not so much who you were in the past, but who you are now. You love God now. Do you? Do you trust in His mercy? Do you trust in His care? Do you trust in the Blessed Mother? So, who you are is who you are right now. And even though maybe we've committed a million sins in the past, we made our general confession, and we're sincerely repentant, all of you can become great saints starting right now. I think that's the key concept that's hit me the past month, is that you aren't who you are in the past. You are who you are now. And if you made that general confession, you're forgiven. It's like being baptized again. It's like being born again. So all of you here, you can become great saints. You can. So I find if you're struggling in prayer, I think it's always a winner to thank God. It's always a winner to thank God. And Ignatius himself says, if we're thankful, God is going to give us many more graces. If you cultivate an attitude of gratitude, God is just ready to send you a deluge of graces. But if we never say thank you to God, I mean, God has a heart too. He wants us to say thank you. Once I went to my spiritual director, I was just in a lot of consolation. I said, well, Father, the past couple of days, I just, a lot of consolation. God had been very good to me, and I just, my holy hours have been just thanksgiving. And I'll never forget, he quoted to me when I was studying English literature, one of my favorite courses. I studied what are called the Rhineland Mystics, okay? Any English majors here, the Rhineland Mystics, which would be Thomas a Kempis, the Cloud of Unknowing, Julian of Norwich, Walter Hilton, the Ladder to Perfection, and Meister Eckhart. Okay, has ever done any, you know, mystical reading? Meister Eckhart was a Dominican mystic intellectual in the 15th century, and he quoted Meister Eckhart. Once he said this, it was, I studied that guy 30 years ago. Meister Eckhart, yeah. If the only prayer you ever said were the prayer of thanksgiving, that would be enough. I love that. Like that?
Yeah.
The only prayer you ever said were the prayer of thanksgiving, that would be enough. That'd be enough. Think of it on a human level. Your son or daughter comes and says, hey, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. You're the best. You're going to be in consolation $48, maybe more, right? Thanks, Mom and Dad. Man, you both, you're the best. Man, God created both of you, couldn't have done better, huh? Well, you're going to be in cloud nine, huh? Well, don't you think God responds to gratitude even more so? We're sometimes kind of coarse, a little bit crusty around the heart. Hey, God. God is, the nature of God is caballero. He's very delicate. God is very refined. You know, the delicacies that we sometimes don't pick up because we tend to be coarse at times, God is keenly aware of the most delicate touches of the human heart that manifests gratitude and love. That's the way God is. Then also, in the holy hour. So that might be a holy hour, and it might be three back to back. Another one might be this. Adrian von Speyer. Have any of you ever heard of Adrian von Speyer interview? So Adrian von Speyer is a very important writer last century. And there's a book that came out, I think it's Ignatius Press. It's called The Book of Saints, in which she had interior locutions of some of the greatest saints. It's about 500 pages. And it's cool because it goes through the different way that the saints pray. You can't go wrong in that. How did Ignatius pray? How did Philip Neri pray? Book of the Saints by Adrian von Speyer. I think it's Ignatius Press. Pretty sure. You've heard of Ignatius Press, most of you, right? Father Fessio. And I'll give you a summary of it, which is somewhat related to my holy hour. And it's the rosary. I talk and then I say Hail Mary. I talk and Hail Mary. So it's all enveloped in my consecration to Mary, in my charism, and then Oblate of the Virgin Mary. So I have to be faithful to my charism. Okay. Charles Borromeo. St. Charles Borromeo. You've heard of him? He was probably one of the greatest cardinal archbishops in the history of the Catholic Church. And because of him, you had the Council of Trent, which was actually was concluded because of his insistence, because the Jesuits would be fighting with the Dominicans and the Spaniards were fighting with the Italians and, you know, like little kids. So they would be disbanding. You know, come on, calm down, come on back together. And we have probably the most important council in the history of Catholicism at the time of Ignatius. Whereas Charles Borromeo, his prayer was very much related to his life. Meaning, all the people that God has placed in your path, God placed them there. And God wants you to pray for those people. Now, this is a cardinal archbishop, so he's different than lay people. But rewind the film of your life the past 48 hours and see all those different people that you met. Some people maybe bugged you. Maybe someone cut you off on the freeway. Maybe someone at work, you know, you like. Another one you're afraid of. All these people God placed in your path. Borromeo, in his prayer, those are people you place on the altar and you offer to God. So that's another mode of prayer that I have. For example, a day that I might have is I've got a funeral and I've got a wedding on the same day. So I'm praying for this young couple that they'll have a happy marriage. I'm praying for the person that died and the 500 people that were in the funeral mass. And that's the way it is, no? So it's a radical change of emotions. We have to be joyful with a married couple, and we got to weep with those who are weeping the loss of their loved one. So let me tell you another one. This prayer is said from the depth of my heart during my holy hour and outside my holy hour. Are you listening?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
I often say this, Lord, help me. Really? I don't think I ever go through a day in which I don't say that many times, because I'm in circumstances where I'm tired, I'm overwhelmed, maybe I'm hungry, maybe I got a headache or something, and sometimes I feel, Lord, I'm not going to be able to get through the day. And then I always hear him saying, you have little faith, you won't get through, but I'll get you through it. And when I hear that interior locution, I'm calmed down. Now, I say that prayer very often. I'll say, Jesus help me, Mary help me, Saint Joseph help me. And you know? Because it's a good idea when you're doing your holy hour to have, even though it's maybe 1 minute or 2 minutes, you're really praying fervently. Lord, I have a long day today. I've got all these general confessions. I've got this problem. I got these three masses. I've got three classes of an hour, Lord, and I'm not feeling that good either. Lord, help me through it. Mary, pray for me. Saint Joseph, you had a tough life. It's going to be your feast day, well, next Thursday, right? Saint Joseph, you had so many struggles and obstacles. Saint Joseph, he's becoming my spiritual father. Saint Joseph, help me through. So you have like a colloquy with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Saint Joseph, help me. Mary, help me. Jesus, help me. See, I'm praying to each of them individually, and I'll pray to the three of them at the same time because they're always together. So really, I'm glad you asked that question. I've never done this before, but you asked it, you got it, no? And then this would have to be the reality too. You know, if we fail in one way or another, Lord, sorry. Yesterday I was a little bit impatient with one of those people. You know, you took me by surprise. I should have been more meek and humble and patient. Well, sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Not the first nor the last. I hope it's the last, but it probably won't be the last. You know, in other words, our prayer has to be very honest and sincere. In my prayer, I try to be very honest with the Lord what's going on. If I'm not feeling good, I'll tell the Lord. Feeling happy, I'll tell the Lord. If I want to give him thanks, I'll tell the Lord. If I, you know, if I'm fearful of something, two of my favorite biblical verses I bring into prayer are the following. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all of you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You'll find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's been one of my favorite verses the past three decades, no? Which is Matthew 11:28-30. Then I really like this verse from the second letter of St. Peter. I don't have the exact verse. I'm not a Protestant, I'm a Catholic. Okay. It's this. Cast your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. I really like that. Cast your cares upon the Lord, I care for you. Now, it has to be said, I said this half hour ago, if you can connect all of these prayer sentiments, which is supplication, petition, thanksgiving, oblation, all these different reparation. If you can take these, give them to Mary, place them in the heart of Mary, then the deposit upon the altar in the Mass, your Mass and communion is going to be 1,000 times more powerful. Maybe even 1,000,000. And don't forget, because God is infinite. God is infinite, and the graces that we receive from Mass are in direct proportion to our preparing for the Mass and having faith that God can move the mountains. When I say the Mass and I'm preparing, the movie "You'll Grind Me Alive with the Greatest Miracle" is a great little movie. Maybe you'll see it one day. Is this. Why not I'll offer Mass and I'll say, "Lord, I pray that this Mass that I'm celebrating now will be instrumental in saving 1,000,000 souls." You know what I hear? The locution? Why are you asking for so little? Why are you asking for so little? Well, Lord, 1,000,000 is a lot. Jesus says, "For me, it's not a lot. Ask for more." Okay. Well, Lord, may this Mass empty purgatory. Lord, may this Mass, everyone that's going to die today, they're going to be saved because of this Mass. Even the most hardened sinners. Matthew 7:7. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock, and you'll receive. You'll receive in direct proportion to how much faith you have in the Lord's promise. If we don't have faith, Jesus always says he doesn't carry out miracles when the people don't have faith. He said the faith can move a mountain. Ever see the movie Little Boy? Great movie, right? The little boy was able to move the mountain. Little boy, he moved the mountain because he had faith. Faith that could move the mountain. In all of this, as I said, all of this is wrapped up in the rosary and the Hail Mary. So I say Hail Mary, then I colloquy for 3 minutes. Then Hail Mary, colloquy for 3 minutes. It's all enveloped in the heart of Mary. This is my charism. I'm an oblate of the Virgin Mary. I'm living out my raison d'être, just saying in French, my reason for being. So that being the case, I think some of you have come to the awareness when Mary is present in your life, things happen, right? Right? When Mary is present in your life, when you're praying with Mary, you're asking Mary to pray for you, things happen. Therefore, I can never do a holy hour in which Mary is not bringing me to the heart of Christ and Christ is bringing me to God the Father. Maybe you've heard of St. Louis de Montfort. Huh? Remember the apple. You know the apple that the poor man has to give to the queen, king. He gives it to the queen, and the queen polishes the apple, puts it on a golden platter, and a couple of flowers there, and sprays it, and the queen gives the king the apple, and the king says, "That's the best apple I've ever eaten." Why? Not so much because of the apple, but it was the person that gave him the apple, and that was the queen. So we want to give everything to the King of Kings through the Queen of Heaven and Earth. And her name is Mary. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for me. I've never done that in my life. You actually opened up a door and I was able to... Was that helpful?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully that'll be helpful. But I'm... For me, the most important thing is my relationship with God through prayer. But related to the Mass. So see if maybe you ask the question, maybe see if you can connect your holy hour to the Mass. And just load the altar with all of the intentions. Sometimes I'm afraid when I celebrate Mass that the altar is going to collapse because I'm placing so many intentions. It hasn't happened yet, no? But I'm being facetious. You can never offer too many intentions. The more we offer, the better. Yes. Somewhat of a what? Yes. Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that because someone sent me a YouTube yesterday, and I went to talk about with Father Larry and the priest. Maybe some of you saw it. I think it's gone viral. You have this priest in Palermo, Italy, okay, Palermo, in which, now you probably know that Italy and Europe is basically dead spiritually now. I mean, very few people practice the faith in Spain, Italy. I mean, there are some vestiges of Catholicism. The churches are beautiful, but basically the churches are kind of like museums. But the movie that maybe you saw, you have this priest, he's maybe about 60 years old, and he's dressed in cassock with a stole, and he's with an altar server that's another man. It's cool. They're just walking through, and even though Italy, Palermo would be the southern part of Italy, Sicily, Palermo. They're walking through the streets of Palermo. And you probably know, Italy is not as highly advanced technologically as the United States. And the cobblestone roads and the kind of adobe houses. And he's just walking. He's walking with the monstrance. And they got an altar server. And nothing is planned. And then all of a sudden you see, he's walking in front of a car and this plumber gets out of the car. He falls to his knees and he's going like this. And he's walking down. His lady look popping her head out the window. Sees it, and she makes the sign of the cross. And it's interesting because I had that thought in my holy hour today. Wouldn't that be cool if every day for the next 2 weeks we'd be able to take the Blessed Sacrament, just walk through one street of Hawaiian Gardens from, say, the church all the way to the end of Juan Avenue, which is about a mile, and come back. That would be one of the holy hours we make. And ask God to bless all the people. Easier said than done, but that's what the priest was doing. And my thought was, wouldn't it be good if all the priests and all the Catholic Church throughout the world would do that and ask Jesus to heal us? Because Jesus is the divine physician, right? Now, we want scientists, we want physicists, we want biologists, doctors, to find some type of vaccination, right? It hasn't been discovered yet. But Jesus, when all is said and done, he's the one that heals us, right? Ask the Blessed Sacrament. You know, in Lourdes, you ever been to Lourdes? Been to Lourdes, some of you? You have the miraculous water in Lourdes? But listen. Most of the healings happen at dusk when you have the Eucharistic procession outside, more than the people going down to the waters. And that's Jesus in his Eucharistic presence. He's healing these many people who go there. There are miracles in the water, but many more through the exposition of Blessed Sacrament, which stands to reason because the water, it's a sacramental, but the Eucharist is the sacrament of sacraments. Well, it depends upon the pastor and what we'd have to do. Like we've done it before. We have processions of Our Lady Guadalupe through all the streets, well, through the streets of wine gardens. We have to get a permit from the city, and you have to get like it has to be barricaded, and we have to have the police to block off the streets because of that. So I mean, it was just a thought, but. In our church, we always have the Blessed Sacrament exposed around the clock, and even though we have this problem, we're not going to be denying people access to the Blessed Sacrament. So, well, I'm trying to promote in my masses, I'm telling the people, now that you're off from work and from school, we'll come to Mass every day. You know, we got 5 daily Masses here where Masses are closed down. Most, a lot of places, we got 5 daily Masses. Go to one of those Masses, say your rosary and make your holy hour and pray that God will. My overall interpretation is this. What happened with the Tower of Babel? That's my interpretation. Tower of Babel, what happened? Why? That's the biblical passage comes to me. If there's nothing wrong with building a tower, they're trying to arrive at God without God, though. Mm-hmm. Trying to arrive at God without God, pushing God aside and trying to arrive at heaven without God. That's what's happened in the American society. Right, Joanne? As well as throughout the whole world. So God has purposely, he confused their languages. God has sent this virus that we don't know we don't know where we're going with it. But Prince Foundation, hey, you know, if we all have to die with that virus, if we die in the state of grace, where are we going? Well, I haven't lost any sleep over this. No? If I've got to go that way, well, I'm surrounded by some pretty good priests. I can go to confession to them. They can give me the anointing of the sick. They can give me Holy Communion, the apostolic pardon, and send me right to heaven. So it's important. It's not a long life, but a holy. Not important. A long life, but a holy life. Right? And one of the points they made in the homily is this: what's worse, the coronavirus or the virus of mortal sin? Like that idea?
Yeah.
What's worse, coronavirus or the virus of mortal sin? Because the coronavirus attacks the body, but mortal sin attacks the soul. And our soul is a billion times more important than our body. That you learned in your meditation these 5 weeks, right? Great, so why don't we do this? Do most of you know how to pray the Angelus?
Yes.
Let me pray the Angelus and I'll give you a blessing and then Mary will close up, and it was just great being with you. And I said, well, as soon as we start the exercises again, if you haven't left Mary or Eric your email, just leave them so we can send you the information, or you can check into the parish website. Okay? Let's say the Angelus. The angel Lord declared unto Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Behold the handmaid of the Lord.
Be thou to me for thy life.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
and the Word became flesh.
And
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, through whom the incarnation of Christ your Son, made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross impart the glory of his resurrection. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Glory to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Intercession of Mary, most holy Saint Joseph, God's angels and saints, may God bless you with peace, joy, long life, and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so God bless you, and Mary will finish up responding to some of your questions. And those who want to make that general confession, she got like a sign-up list there, so you can do that. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.